Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and they shall be created. Remember your congregation, which you have possessed from the beginning. O Lord, hear my prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, who has taught the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us in the same Spirit to be truly wise and to ever rejoice in his holy consolation. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today, we're beginning part two, Luisa and Divine Justice. And the reason is Jesus said to St. Faustina, I'm going to give to the world a time of mercy. And then he says, then I'm going to give the world divine justice. So last year we had the year of divine mercy. And now Jesus is showing us that through Luisa, divine justice is coming to the world. So this is why we're focusing this year on divine justice. And the books are over there, Luisa and Divine Justice. And what you're going to see is how merciful our God is to us. Everybody is going to get what they want. That's the scary part. Everybody is going to get what they live for. And Jesus says to us, I'm going to give to you what you long for, give to you what you work for, give to you what you dream of, what you desire of. And this is what the divine will is all about, to bring us back to the place where we were created, and that is eternity, that is one with God, fused with God and his holy divine will. So right now we are on volume 6, June 29th, 1904. And Jesus says, my daughter Luisa, the sign to know when my divine justice can no longer bear mankind is that in the act of sending grave chastisements is that man, he can no longer bear himself. So Jesus is saying, because mankind cannot bear himself, what does that mean? It means that the person does not want to live the universal life that God wants for them. So it says God is going to send grave chastisements because mankind does not want this universal life, does not want this Catholic life. So he says, in fact, rejected by man, God withdraws himself from him and makes him feel all the weight of his nature, all the weight of his sin, all the weight of his miseries, and mankind unable to bear the weight of his nature without divine help, seeks only himself, and that means the way to destroy himself. So when you think about it, what we are going through right now, with all that's happening in the world, is it's very clear. Mankind does not want God. So what is happening in the world? First of all, the primary thing that has happened is people going against God by having a contraceptive mentality, not wanting children. And I've even heard grandparents say, well, I'm glad you're pregnant, I'm not. And if there's a pride in not wanting children. There's always suffering in bearing children. There is difficulty. And what happened in 1960, when humanity went against Humani Vitae, it was very clear that mankind said to God, said to the Pope, you're not going to be interfering with my life. And Mother Teresa says that the mother of abortion is contraception. So here's the first thing that we see happening is the desire not to have God part of their family. There's more involved than just the husband and the wife. There's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit involved. And God has a greater blessing for the family than the family could ever imagine through children. And after that, what happens? Then we have abortion. And that's what the Pope said. He says if you use contraception, artificial means of birth control, he says that the next thing that will be legalized is abortion. After that will be euthanasia. So now we're not only killing babies, we're killing the older people in the hospital by mercy killing. And this is what happens. It just keeps on expanding. And from that, you have what was going on in the 50s was difficult. But now the 60s, the 70s, and right till today, you have not only abortion and euthanasia and contraception, but you now have alternative lifestyles. You now have which are acceptable today, and we forget about Sodom and Gomorrah, and the punishment, the justice, I should say, the chastisements are basically mankind saying to God, "I don't want to be one with you. I want my own life. I want my own misery." And this is the way that mankind is destroying himself. Now you have pornography in all situations. You have drugs. You have look at the abuse. You have all that's going on now. And Jesus says this is the sure sign that grave chastisements are coming. The sure sign to know that my divine justice is coming upon the earth. I mean, this is February. And, you know, this past week we've had 60-degree weather. It's not global warming. Sin begets sin. And Our Lady has said in some of her recent apparitions that what was warm is now going to be cold. What was cold is now going to be warm. What was rainy is now going to be dry. What was dry is now going to be rainy. Everything is topsy-turvy. And the reason is this is what sin brings about. It's not driving, you know, trucks that are causing this. It's sin. And so Jesus is saying, such is the state of the present generation. This is what it is right now. And we have to understand, I've talked to people and they said to me that it's really not that bad. It's really not that bad. Well, with International Planned Parenthood, we, the United States, gave money to China to kill 43 million babies a year. And for the last 8 years, we gave money to China to kill 320 million babies. That's as many as the people in the United States. And Our Lady said at Fatima, nations will be annihilated. We see, we don't understand that the time that we're in is so serious. So what has Jesus done? Jesus says, to get through this most difficult time, he says, I'm giving you the divine will. See, the prayers of the saints are great. We've learned the prayers of the saints. We've followed the prayers of the saints. We've trusted in their love of God. And Jesus says, these prayers are not powerful enough to stop what is happening. They're not. You can pray all the novenas you want, and you're not going to see any results. Jesus says the way to help mankind is to give them a source where Jesus himself is speaking, and Jesus himself is teaching. And that's what we find with the Book of Heaven. This is what we're waiting for from the Vatican. We have the books over here from the Vatican. The Vatican said last year, Luisa is the son, S-U-N, of God's divine will. That means that the light that Luisa has been given doesn't make her greater than God, doesn't make her greater than Mary. It says this light is a reflection of our Jesus on Mount Tabor, the man clothed with the sun, his clothing more brilliant than the sun, and Our Lady of Guadalupe, the woman clothed with the sun. So here they said, Luisa is the newborn who has this light. And this light is what God wants to give to us. It's to begin to live the life. Jesus said very clearly, you are the light of the world. He says, you don't put a light under a bushel basket. You put it so everyone in the house can see. And that's what we're seeing with Luisa. As you read, as you study, as you put this into practice, you will have the means to fight the grave offenses against God now. I mean, look at your own family. Every family is involved in every sin. The movie that won all the awards a few years ago was the Titanic. All the awards went to that movie. Yet every commandment was broken in that movie, and everybody cheered. Everybody said, what a great movie this was. See, we have to get back to letting, and the whole story of the movie was man destroyed himself. Remember the captain said, not even God would be able to sink this ship. Where we are today is we have to understand God is saying, I want to get you ready to re-enter into the kingdom. And 40 days after Luisa died, Our Lady of Revelation appeared to Bruno in Italy, in Rome. And Our Lady said to Bruno, time has now come to an end. Now, if we really take an approved apparition, which Our Lady says, time has come to an end, would we be continuing to live like we're living? If this is true, what Our Lady says, and Jesus says, I will be with you to the end of time, that means this is the time where God is going to do something. It's not to be afraid. It's not to be running and pulling your hair out, screaming, you know, everything's going to stop. It's no. Jesus is getting ready. He's getting us ready for the new era. He's getting us ready for the kingdom of God to be established on earth as it is in heaven. This is what the Lord is looking for. He's asking us. He's pleading with us. Would you be willing to recognize the time you're in? So he says, right in this first paragraph, the sign to know when my justice can no longer bear mankind is in the act of sending grave chastisements. That's where we are right now. And we haven't seen anything yet. We haven't seen anything yet. When everything begins to hit the fan, I'll tell you honestly, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners will basically, as Our Lady said, if you don't have Jesus, and you don't, if you don't have me, Our Lady says, all you have left is suicide. People will kill themselves because they'll be so terrified. That's what Scripture says. What's coming is going to terrify mankind. Now, for us, it's going to be, since we give our fiat, it's going to be, well, Lord, let's see how we get through this. It's complete trust, complete confidence, complete hope in God. And this is what Jesus is asking of us. He says, don't be part of that part of mankind that wants to destroy themselves by leaving the universal life, by living a life separate from the church. Don't do this. He says, but that's the state that the church is in right now, the world is in right now. Look at France. Because of birth control, They're inviting a warring nation into their country. Look at Germany. Because of birth control, they're inviting a warring nation into their country. Well, why? Well, if you listen to the president of Germany, she says very clearly, they will work in our factories. I think they got it wrong. Jesus is saying, it's not to live this life separate from the Catholic faith. France was the first daughter of the church. The churches are empty in France. The majority of people in France do not have their children baptized. The first daughter of the church. There is a thousand people coming in, a thousand non-Christian coming into the tip, the boot of the hit of Italy, and the heel, 1,000 coming in the heel every day. That's been going on for 3 years. What Jesus is saying is, because of your desire, this is talking to mankind, of wanting to be free of children, you will be conquered. And that's what's happening. It's not that we're against aliens. We want, as Catholics, to bring in those that want God. And this is the thing that's going to astonish the world. Jesus says he's coming. And if you read what's happening in all the countries, Jesus is appearing to many, many souls. And Jesus is allowing souls to become Christian because of his appearing to them. Our job is to say to Jesus, I want to be more Catholic. I want to be more of a true apostle of Jesus and Mary. Sorry. I woke up with a runny nose today. Sorry. Volume 6, July 29, 1904. I could also see wars like between Russia and Japan, the thousands of soldiers who are dying and will die, that by justice, also natural, the victory shall be of Japan. And I saw the other European nations are plotting machinations of war, even against nations of Europe. This is 1904, but it's still going on today. Let's look at Japan. We were told after World War II, you will never have an army. You will never have weapons. Okay. Now we're saying to Japan, we want you to have an army. We want you to have weapons. See, the thing with Japan hasn't ended. Now, why hasn't it ended? Japan does not believe in Jesus Christ. There's not true peace there. See, Jesus is the one that brings peace. And the nations that do not have Jesus, the nations do not have the universal life, that Catholic life, will go to war. They have to. That's Jesus is the King of Peace. Jesus is the one. When everyone becomes Catholic, the world will live in peace. That's the promise of God. There will be one church, one flock, one shepherd, which Jesus tells that to Louisa, that is what's going to happen. Everyone will become Catholic. Because the miracles that are coming through the divine will, through Louisa, are going to astonish the world. Our job is to become more Catholic. Our job is to become more faithful to this universal life. So the Lord is looking at us and he's asking us, how are you striving to do that? Now, one of the things that we have is if you want to today, you can become a Benedictine oblate. You can be first become a novitiate and then go to the second stage. You can do that today. And then what you have, this is the beautiful thing about being a third order Benedictine oblate, is you have the prayers of all the Benedictines ever. Because the Benedictine order is the oldest order. So from them, the praying, and us praying, you have really a family that where you have the prayers of everybody. And I found that for myself since last year when I became an oblate. I found that the prayers of the souls around the world of past ages and even of future ages are with us. And these prayers are so powerful that they help us to become really, truly faithful Catholics. And I just seen some great benefits in that, and we'll do that after Mass for those that want to become Third Order. It's the First Order is the priests, the Second Order is the nuns, the Third Order is the laity. And as you enter into this gift, you really begin to see how necessary it is to be Catholic. And this is why it's so important for us. So Jesus says to Louisa that many are going to die by justice and also natural. The victory will be of those opposed to God, and other nations will also have wars within them as well. So that still hasn't come to complete fruition yet. That's the thing. A lot of people think that we are living in peace. Okay, how can we be living in peace if we're still killing babies? How can we be living in peace if we're still living alternative lifestyles? How can we be living in peace if drugs are part of people's lives? We can't. The only way to live in peace is to be one with Jesus and Mary in God's holy church. That's the only way to have true peace. And what you see in Europe, what you see in Japan, has not happened yet. So it's a false peace that's out there. And until we begin to live a Catholic life, that will be very far from us. Volume 6, August 5th, 1904. My daughter Louisa, I am. This is Jesus' name as God. I am the ruler of kings and the Lord of lords. To me alone is the right. To me alone, the right of justice is due, and that the creature owes me. But by not giving this justice by right to me, the soul denies me as creator and master of everything. And while saying this, Jesus seemed to take the world in his hands and turn it upside down so that the creatures would submit to his regime and dominion. That hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen. What's coming, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. Jesus said it's never happened in the history of the world before, and it will never happen again. He literally says, I'm going to turn the world upside down. Something just he's saying by chance. He says, you owe me as God all the love, all the worship, all the adoration, all the praise, all the glory that I, God, deserve. Now, why does he say that? Because God is so holy, he's so beautiful, he's so perfect, that he wants us to participate in who he is. You know, the priest says that at Mass every day when he puts the drop of water in the chalice. It says, we who are nothing, God is everything. We who are nothing enter into that cup filled with wine. And that drop of water, which is nothing, fuses and diffuses and becomes wine. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to share in his divinity. It's not just to have God 1,000,000,000 miles away, but to have that perennial communion that Adam had before the fall, to walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening. So our Lord is asking us, would you be willing to allow me, the Lord, God Almighty, to be your Lord? And once you recognize me, you will fall on your knees and adore me and praise me and thank me and bless me and worship me. St. Teresa says that. St. Teresa says, the only time we can freely love God is now. God seems far away for most people. And when we go to Holy Mass, when we go to church, and when we genuflect, we say to the Lord, you are my Lord, my King, my Master. This is why we genuflect. You are my all. And Jesus says that when we recognize that, he says, your life becomes corrected because you're putting everything in proper order. See, Teresa says, when we get to heaven, we're going to have to love God because we will see how beautiful, how holy, how perfect he is. And we will not be able to stop praising God. Can you imagine seeing something? I mean, we do this when we go to a museum. We go, wow, that's really beautiful. That is really nice. I'd like a copy of that. That's an inanimate object. When we see the holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, we will fall at our knees adoring him and praising him and loving him and glorifying him. This is what the saints tell us is supposed to happen with inside us when we're in front of the Blessed Sacrament. When we look at Jesus and the monstrance during exposition, our hearts are on fire with love for who our God is, how beautiful, how holy, how perfect. See, we have to begin to see things from Christ's perspective, not from a human perspective. And that's, unfortunately, that's where we are at this point. But Jesus says, I want to open your eyes so that you will see the way I see. Let me gaze in your gazing. He says, I want you to open your heart so that you will, your heart will love as my heart loves. Let me be in your heart beating. And that's what we do with our prevenient act and our actual acts throughout the day. We're saying to Jesus, come, become alive in me. Let me see with your intellect and understand with your nature. And that, not that we would become God, but St. Augustine said, God became man so man can become God, small g. God breathed into dust. Why? So this dust would become a creature. And this creature would be in God's image and likeness. That means to be like God and to do what God does. That's what God is expecting of us. It's not just to live good and holy and saintly lives, but to allow God to reign in us to such an extent that we begin to be one with Him as Adam was. We walk and talk with God throughout the day. We are one with our Lord, our Master, our King, our Savior, our God, our all. This is what God is waiting for. So He says, I'm going to turn the world upside down until mankind comes to his senses. And He says, then they'll submit to His regime, to His dominion. It's going to happen. The churches are empty. The churches are filled with people 60 to 80 years old. In 15 years, they'll all be dead. Jesus says, I want you to recognize me. Your children, it doesn't matter how much you've taught your children, the divine will is so far from them that the world is in charge of them. Television, radio, newspaper, magazines, iPad, iPhone. The last week or 2 weeks ago, it said, we're using these 12 hours a day. 12 hours a day of being taught how to live in a hedonistic society nothing can overcome that. A 10-minute homily, if they go to Mass on Sunday, if it is the homily is good, is not going to convince them to stop living in this hedonistic world. It's practically impossible. So what does God have to do? He says very clearly, I'm going to turn the world upside down. If we don't understand what is happening to our families, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners, I mean, these are good people, but they're far from God. Jesus said that the road to hell is very wide and many travel it. The road to heaven is very narrow and few find it. The narrowness of the road to heaven is basically between the two candles that are on the altar. That's the narrowness to heaven. It's through Jesus Christ crucified and the holy sacrifice of the Mass. If we are faithful to the church, God will take us to heaven. If we are not faithful to the church, I don't see how you can go to heaven. If we are rebellious to the teachings of Jesus in his church, I don't see how that's possible. So Jesus is saying to us, I want you to be in heaven. I want your families to be in heaven. And he says, do you do what I want, and I'll do what you want. So my family is in the hands of God, and I trust him, and I believe in him, and I hope in him, and I have confidence in him. But Jesus says to me, you now, I have a responsibility. And that is to live the life, that universal life that he wants us to live. Volume 6, October 27th, 1904. It is necessary that you, Louisa, remain without suffering for some time in order to form a little void for justice so that justice may chastise the people. That's Louisa suffered in our place. That's what you're going to find out about Louisa. Louisa was so obedient to Jesus that at 17, Jesus said to her, go to bed and stay there. And she stayed there for the rest of her life. And then he said to Louisa, I don't want you to eat, drink, or sleep. And Louisa obeyed. For 64 years, Louisa did not eat, drink, or sleep. You know what's really amazing is we don't have to do that. Because she did it for us. Because Jesus did this for us. This is, Our Lady did this for us. And now they have a newborn, a firstborn, a human, who also suffered for us. See, that's Adam. Adam was given this gift and Adam lost it. And Jesus says he's waited 6,000 years to give this gift back to mankind. And he says, now I have found one soul who possesses this gift. And he gave this gift to Louisa. And now Jesus says, do you want this gift? If you want this gift, I will give it to you as well. But it won't be as painful as what Jesus went through. It won't be as painful as what Mary went through. It won't be as painful even as what Louisa went through without eating, drinking, or sleeping for 64 years. A person who could walk, Jesus said, go to your room and stay there. And then he taught her the book of heaven. And now Jesus says, I want you, us, to have this book of heaven so that you can learn this life of Jesus, this life of Mary that was given to Louisa. We don't look at Louisa because Louisa is great. We look at Louisa because she has the life of Jesus, which we love. She has the life of Mary, which we love. And we want this life of Jesus that she possesses. We want this life of Mary that she possesses. So the more that you get to know Louisa, you see very clearly, Louisa, you're not going to suffer. Why? Because I'm going to chastise the people. This is God's justice. And this was in 1904. So there was a period of time where she did not suffer. And again, World War One broke out. World War II broke out. Jesus says, man, and think about it. You didn't kill, 60 million babies in the United States at that time. You didn't kill 43 million babies a year in China at that time. You didn't have alternative lifestyles that are legal at that time. You didn't have pornography that is all over the place at that time. You have to understand, Jesus is very, very confident that his kingdom is coming. But he says, I have to purify the world. And the closer you get to Jesus, the happier you're going to be. The closer you get to Mary, the happier you're going to be. If you want to follow St. Francis, you can follow a saintly way, a good way, a holy way. St. Benedict, a saintly way, a good way, a holy way. St. Dominic, a saintly, a good way, a holy way. But if you want to follow how Jesus lived and Mary lived, it's through this little newborn, Louisa. So it's Jesus is offering this to us. So he says, basically, in Volume 6, November 13th, 1904, my humanity was not supposed to violate my creative wisdom. It was supposed to adore it. And my holy humanity did adore my creative wisdom. It resigned itself to receiving the voids of justice within itself, but not the divinity, because these voids of divine justice are filled by chastisements of this life, by hell and by purgatory. So, if my holy humanity resigned itself to all this, would you, Louisa, and us linked to Louisa, perhaps want to surpass me by and not receiving any void of suffering upon yourself in order to not let me chastise the people? My daughter, conform to me and remain peaceful. See, Louisa kept on saying to Jesus, don't punish the people. Louisa stood in the breach as Moses stood in the breach and says, don't punish the people. And Jesus says, Louisa, you know, I have to do this. Because what's coming is so beautiful. What's coming is so holy. What's coming is so perfect that people have to be ready for it through a purging. Through, as he says, a chastisement. So he says to her, Louisa, and he says to us, conform to me. Let me be your Lord. Let me be your Savior. Let me be your God and remain peaceful. I, God, will take care of everything. That's the main reason we have Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. I believe in you. I hope in you. I have confidence in you. And now Jesus says, I really want more. I want you to so trust me that you will enter into this life, my mother's life, through this little newborn, Louisa. Volume 6, April 16th, 1905. Continuing in my usual state, my lovable Jesus made himself seen for a little with a nail in his heart. And drawing near my heart, he would touch it with that nail, and I would feel mortal pains, deathly pains. And Jesus said to me, my daughter Louisa, it is the world that drives this nail deep inside my sacred heart, giving me a continuous death. So by justice, just as they give me continuous death, I, God, shall allow that they give death among themselves, killing one another like many dogs. See, Jesus has to give us what we want. He has to. And that's what's happening. Why all these murders? Because Jesus says, this is the sin that you live in. Sin begets sin. He says, and you are going against this universal life. You're going against this Catholic life. Jesus says this, when the churches close, I, as God, am closing those churches. So don't blame the bishops. Don't blame the priests. Because Jesus says, I'm tired of the sacrileges. I'm tired of the indifferences. I'm tired of people not wanting to be with me. So he says, I close the churches. Like I said, in most churches today, people are 60 to 80 years old. They'll be gone soon. Who is taking their place? Nobody. Jesus wants us to know that he is not going to let his church, the gates of hell, prevail against his church. And he's saying to us very clearly, everyone is going to possess this Catholic life. Everyone. And he's saying to us, the way it's going to happen is through this great gift of the divine will. So he says in volume 6, September 4th, 1905, this is the order of my divine providence. This is the order of my divine justice. This is the order of my divine love, that each time I, God, must have at least one with whom I might share all my divine goods, that the creature must give me everything that she owes me as creature. That's our heartbeat. That's our breath. That's the circulation of our blood. That's our desires. That's our hopes. We give everything to God. Otherwise, why maintain the world? In one moment, I, God, would shatter it. This is precisely why I choose victim souls. Just as the divine justice found in me everything that it should find in all creatures and shared with me altogether the goods it would have shared with all creatures in such a way that my holy humanity contained everything, so do I find everything in victim souls. And I, God, share all my goods with them. So are you going through any difficulties? Good. Jesus is sharing with you his sufferings. Our life on earth is so crazy that even in the coffin we make people look like they're alive. Boy, he looks pretty good. She looks pretty good. Well, they look pretty dead to me. They're not breathing. See, Jesus wants us to recognize that he has called us to be victim souls. There's a victim soul right there, Louisa. She did not eat, drink, or sleep for 64 years. She could walk, but she was obedient to Jesus and stayed in bed. Then what did Jesus do? He crucified her every day. He says that to Louisa. I crucify you every day, Louisa. Father Bucci tells the story when his aunt went into Louisa's room once, because his aunt, Aunt Rosaria, took care of Louisa, that the room, her bed was covered with blood, the floor was covered with blood. She immediately ran out to get towels to soak up all this blood. And she runs back in the room and there's no blood. Because Jesus, Louisa said to Jesus, don't let anybody know about this. And Jesus let a few people know, and this happened quite a few times, so that we could understand that Jesus needed Louisa as a victim soul. So Jesus asks us for the little suffering that we go through to also be victim souls. And all that he says is that if when we give our yes, he says, I am helping the world. Matter of fact, a friend of mine, he suffered a major heart attack, two heart attacks, and double pneumonia, raced to the hospital. The doctor basically said, there's nothing we can do. We can try to help you, but there's really nothing we can do. So he's in the hospital, and a Louisa appears to him. And Louisa's laughing and smiling. And the doctor comes into the room, and he's laughing and he's smiling. And he goes, well, I guess you're okay. For 2 weeks, Louisa was there laughing and smiling. And he asked Louisa, are you laughing at me or with me? And he understood that Louisa says, I'm laughing with you, but a little bit at you. Because you don't understand that with this suffering, you're bringing the kingdom of God sooner on earth. And Louisa said how happy she was. It's the same thing for us. All of us have to go through difficulties. You know, all of us have to go through little sufferings, spiritual, physical, mental, emotional. And all Jesus is saying, are you willing to go through this for me, for the kingdom? And when we say yes, Jesus says the kingdom is coming sooner. All that he asks of us is that we give our fiat. So we'll end there and we'll begin in 15 minutes in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.